Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Odom from Cosmetic Surgery Today, and welcome to the call. Our special guest today is Dr. Achi Chen, a board-certified facial plastic surgeon in Evans, Georgia. Hi, Dr. Chen. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I am great. Well, thank you for joining us today to discuss mid-face rejuvenation, which when you suggested this as a topic, I never knew that it was such a specialized thing as mid-face rejuvenation. So first of all, where is the mid-face?
Well, the mid-face is the area of the face that lies between the corner of the eyes and the corner of the mouth. And, you know, it's an area that's often overlooked in facial rejuvenation surgery. So, you know, the problems with the aging face often are recognized as just the jowl and the neck and maybe the eyes. And so that kind of skips over the entire area of the face. It's called the mid-face.
Okay. So it's the area between the corner of the eyes and the corner of the mouth.
Right. And some people will call that the cheek. And so, you know, the mid-face has had some attention drawn to it recently. You know, a lot of people talk about the nasolabial fold, or, you know, the filler companies will call it the parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
And that does lie within the mid-face. And so oftentimes people think that the rejuvenation of the mid-face really involves, you know, filling that nasolabial fold. And so that's kind of the extent of mid-face rejuvenation that most people will know about.
Right. Well, let's sort of backtrack. Sort of what happens to the mid-face with age? As people age, bad things happen.
Well, some good things. I mean, we gain wisdom.
Right.
But with respect to our face, you know, you can think of the youthful face as more like a grape. And so the grape is full in the sense that it has smooth transitions from one facial area to another. So
mm-hmm.
there aren't concavities or indentations.
Right.
And what happens as we get older, you know, conventional wisdom is that everything falls. And that's only part of the truth. Because what happens is if you think of a young face as a grape, the grape becomes more like a raisin. And so as you let air out of a balloon, the balloon is going to sag.
Right.
And so, yes, you can pull that balloon tighter or you can pull that raisin a little bit tighter. And at first that'll look okay. But what happens is it continues to deflate. And so in the mid-face region, the soft tissue or the cheek area starts to deflate, and it slides downhill. And then that nasolabial fold starts to look deeper and deeper. And so that's one of the reasons why people think that if you just fill that area, the nasolabial fold, that'll make the mid-face more youthful. But the actual problem is further uphill, kind of closer to the eye or what people will call their cheekbones. And so that's kind of what happens is there's an overall deflation of the face. And that's why when you look at a young face, it's full. But when you look at an older face, it looks flatter and longer.
Even if it's been rejuvenated, then it ends up, what was that word you used to describe it? An over-tight-looking raisin. I thought that
yes.
was a very good visual.
So what happens is, you know, as we get older, we lose volume. And we lose volume in several ways. There's actually been CT findings of the aging facial skeleton, and we actually lose bone in our midface, and we lose bone in the jaw, and our eye sockets get deeper. But beyond that, the overlying soft tissue, you know, the cheek fat, that starts to go away. And so if you pull it tight, you will tighten the jawline and you will tighten the neck, but you may not make someone look younger. And so all of us have seen the really tight older person doesn't have a line on their face, but they just don't look young. Just they look like somebody did some surgery on them. And that's what I'm referring to when I talk about the over-tight raisin. And so, you know, the object of making someone look younger isn't to pull them tight as you can. It's to reverse the clock so they look like themselves, you know, years before.
Right. So why is it so important to address the mid-face as part of the facial rejuvenation process? Why is that so important?
Well, you know, it goes back to the trying to revolumize the face. And so, yes, it's okay to tighten the jawline, it's okay to take care of the extra skin in the neck. In fact, that's great. But you still haven't accomplished the total goal. And really, to make a face look younger, you have to put back things that were lost with time. And volume is the biggest thing that's been lost with time. And it isn't because we're thinner. Most of us actually gain a little bit of weight as we get older. But we tend to lose volume in the face. And so to really create a rejuvenated face rather than an operated-looking face, you have to create volume. And that's the biggest thing about the midface. And so it isn't so much that you want to lift the midface. It's that as you create some volume and you re-volumize it, it's very much like filling up a balloon. So
okay.
If you put more air in the balloon, that sagging balloon will rise and lift. And
okay.
that's what we're trying to accomplish with the midface region.
Great. So what are some of the methods of putting air back into the balloon, rejuvenating the midface?
Well, there are many ways. So they range from the very simple to kind of a little bit more complex. And the very simple ways are to put filler in there. So you can do injectable fillers. There's a number of injectable fillers that people will use. Radius works very well. There's Sculptra and various other fillers that are on the market. And they all work well. The downside is it's temporary.
Right.
But the upside is there's very little downtime. And, you know, people can enjoy it right away, with the exception of Sculptra, which takes, you know, it's over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just don't want to have surgery. Now, an intermediate type of procedure is fat transfer or fat grafting. And that works pretty well in the sense that everybody loves the concept of taking fat from somewhere you don't want it.
And putting it somewhere you do want it, right. Yeah,
right. It's a very sexy topic, you
right.
know, because that's like accomplishing several goals at the same time. Now, the downside of that is, you know, fat is living tissue. So when you inject it, it has to get blood supply in order to live over the long term. So it's a little bit unpredictable. And oftentimes, you know, people who do a lot of fat transfer will actually tell all their patients it's a two or more staged procedure, because you have to overfill that area. And then what happens is the fat that's not going to live gets absorbed, almost like filler. And then you come back and fill again.
Right.
And so some people aren't up for that kind of multiple procedures. And so the procedure of choice in my practice is using what's called a midface implant. And that's placed through a small incision inside the mouth. And it's different than a cheek implant in that a midface implant sits more towards the nose and creates volume more towards the middle. So we're not trying to create a different look. We're actually trying to just re-volumize the midface. And so I like that because it's reversible, it's totally predictable, and it's easy to do. And so patients really like it because it's not a multi-stage procedure. It's a one-time shot, and you can even reverse it if you want to.
So where does the implant go? Inside the mouth?
It does. So what we do is we make a little incision inside the mouth. It's called the gingivolabial sulcus. So basically, it's in that little valley that's between the lip and the gums. And we make a little incision underneath there, and we actually lift the soft tissue off of the bone, and the implant is placed right up against the bone. So it's different than a breast implant. This is not a floating implant. It's actually fixed right to the bone. And once it heals, you'll never feel it. Even if a surgeon's feeling for it, it'll be very hard to feel.
And what is the implant made out of? Is it saline gel? Is it like a breast implant?
No, it's actually nothing like a breast implant. It's not a gel. It's actually a soft, solid material. It's made out of silastic. It's the same material that they put in, you know, that covers up like cochlear implants that's used for hearing loss around pacemakers. It's kind of the soft silicone, but it's solid.
All right. No chance of leakage.
No, it can't leak, actually, because it's somewhat firm and sits right. It's not hard as a rock. I mean, it has some spring to it, but it can't leak because it's a solid material.
Interesting. So the midface lift, that's different from what you're talking about now, right? What is the midface lift?
Well, the midface lift is a little bit different procedure. It's done by a very similar approach. So a midface lift involves an incision in the temporal region, basically in the scalp. And then what we do is we form a little pocket and dissect down to the bone as we're coming across the corner of the eye. And then what we do is we create a second pocket that we go inside the mouth with. And that pocket is created underneath the bone. And then what we do is we anchor the cheek from below, and we lift that superiorly. so then the whole cheek is lifted upward. And what happens is the whole cheek is actually detached from the bone or the mid-face facial structure, and when it heals, it'll heal back to the bone in a higher position.
Oh, I see.
Now,
okay.
It's a nice procedure for someone who has a full cheek to begin with. It's not so nice of a procedure, or not such a great procedure for someone who has volume loss, because, you know, what you're really lifting is something that has kind of gone away. And so what I find is if somebody is kind of full-faced and is kind of cheeky to begin with, and you don't want to give them more cheek, but you just want to lift it up,
right,
that's a good way to go. But most people, what's happened is they've lost volume, and that nasolabial fold is deepened because basically the soft tissue envelope is deflated.
Okay. So the mid-face lift would still be good for someone who had lots of volume and cheeks already.
Right. It's, you know, when mid-face lifting first came about, it's kind of like liposuction. Everybody thought that was the answer to everything, so everybody got mid-face lifts. And what we find out as new techniques come and we learn more about them is that there are good indications for them, and then there are ones that are not so good. And so mid-face lifting is really great to rejuvenate the mid-face in a limited patient population that has a full cheek that's kind of fallen over time, and you just want to lift that cheek, but you don't want to create a full cheek. Now, augmenting the mid-face, whether by a filler or an implant or fat, that works great for most people, because most people have actually lost volume in their mid-face.
Right. So is that your preferred method of rejuvenating the mid-face with the implant?
It really is. And I've done fat transfer. I do all the methods of mid-face rejuvenation. I do mid-face lifts, I do fat transfer, I do filler, and I do mid-face implants. And of all those procedures that we do, I find that mid-face implants are probably the best way to go, namely because they come in different sizes, they're completely predictable. You put them in, and that's where they're going to be forever and ever until you take them back out again, if you want to take them back out. And the other thing is, unlike a breast implant, you know, if you form a capsule around a breast implant, it's a disaster because they get stuck. I mean, it doesn't move, and it gets stuck against the chest wall,
right,
and it makes for a very unnatural appearing breast. Well, on a facial implant, that's the first thing you want to happen, is for a capsule to form and for it to get stuck down to the bone, and it always happens that way. And so the nice thing about having a capsule and having it fixed to the bone is that the implant doesn't move, that you can't feel the implant. And if you want to reverse it at some point, all you have to do is find the edge of the implant, and it comes right back out. So it takes about 10 minutes to reverse it. Now, you're probably wondering, why would you want to reverse it? Well, what happens is, you know, patients, they get used to this fullness. And a lot of them will have fullness, you know, they have this post-surgical fullness. And then what happens is that post-surgical fullness goes away, and then they're left with the fullness of the implant. And
right,
occasionally you'll get one or two who really like the fullness that they had when they had swelling from the surgery. And so when that fullness goes away and they just are left with the size of the implant, some of them want to upsize.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so occasionally we'll go back and actually put in a little bigger implant. And I think that's probably the case with, although I don't do breast implants, I have friends that do, and that's often the case with them, is they put in an implant and the patients like the size when they were swollen.
Right.
And when it all settles, they kind of wish they were a little fuller.
Right, so they want, okay. So the results then are permanent.
They are.
Good. So it doesn't deflate, it doesn't go away, it's just with them forever unless they decide they want a bigger one.
Right. And the reason why, fat transfer is still a very nice procedure. The reason why I like mid-face implants over fat transfer for the mid-face region is, you don't have this time of huge swelling where you have to overfill with the fat,
right,
because you have to overfill with fat kind of in anticipation that some of it's going to get absorbed.
Right.
And then the other is you don't have to go back and do a second stage procedure trying to hit the size that you're hoping to hit. Whereas with an implant, you've already picked out the size. You kind of know where you're going to be when the swelling's gone away.
Okay. Now, what type of anesthesia is required?
You know, I think there's a variety of anesthetics that people will use in their office. We tend to prefer what's called TIVA, total IV anesthesia, which is really, I think, to most people, it's deep IV sedation. So it's a little deeper than Twilight. It's you're breathing spontaneously, and that's supplemented with local anesthetic. Now, there are surgeons that'll prefer to use general anesthesia. That works perfectly well. I think sometimes, you know, the cosmetic patient prefers not to have that deep of anesthesia.
Right.
I think straight local anesthesia will be a little bit tougher, just simply because there's an aversion to dental procedures, and I think it's similar to a dental procedure when someone's in your mouth putting an implant in place. And so,
yeah, I think you'd rather be asleep.
Right. Most people prefer to
be
asleep for that type of procedure.
Right, right. Okay. Well, do you have a patient story you'd like to share? I know that you sent me some pictures, and I hope it's okay to post them on the website, because a picture, of course, is worth a thousand words, and you can actually see the results. But is there a certain patient you'd like to tell us about?
Well, sure, and I'd be happy to share some more pictures with you. So,
excellent.
I think your readers would have a better understanding of it. You know, let me think of a good patient story. Well, I'll tell you a story about my wife. You know, what my wife loves to say is the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Uh-huh.
And so she's often kind of, you know, my wife is in her early 40s, and boy, I'm going to be in trouble for sharing her age.
We won't tell her.
Okay. But, you know, she came in, and you know, I don't think she sees everything that we do. And so we were doing mid-face implants one day, and I was putting before and after pictures together. And she looked at that, and it was like a light bulb went off in her head. And she came in one day, and, well, actually, she had the office scheduler under someone else's name. And I was supposed to go do filler in this young lady's mid-face, and it turned out to be my wife.
Oh.
And so, you know, I think looking over my shoulder, she was so impressed with mid-face rejuvenation. And I think it's an area of the face that's really overlooked. And until people see before and afters on what the results provide, it's really hard to picture, because it's actually a three-dimensional rejuvenation. Instead of just pulling someone tight, you're actually volumizing it. And so it's a little bit harder to conceptualize without actually seeing it. And so, you know, sometimes the proof is in the pudding when your own wife is asking you, hey, you know, that looks pretty good. Maybe I can come in and have that done someday.
Really? Great. Okay, well, we will post pictures on the website with the interview then, and people
sure.
can see for themselves what the results, you know, what results could look like. So great. Well, would you like to tell our listeners about your practice and where you're located and your website?
Sure. My practice is located in Evans, Georgia. And Evans is actually a suburb of Augusta, Georgia, and that's best known for the Masters. But it's also home of the what some people know as the Medical College of Georgia, and recently it's changed its name to the Georgia Health Sciences University. And so I have a hybrid practice. 90% of my practice is cosmetic, but I'm also the chief of the Division of Facial Plastic Surgery at the Georgia Health Sciences University.
All right. Okay,
well,
so you're an educator as well.
I am. We train residents, and we're going to have a fellow starting in July. So we train both subspecialists and residents as well.
Great. Well, what's your website?
It's www.thegeorgiacenter.net.
Okay.
That's all spelled out, thegeorgiacenter.net.
Okay. We'll have a link to that on the website. And, well, thank you very much. This has been very useful. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about the mid-face rejuvenation?
Well, I think that you'll see more and more of it coming up. And you're already seeing it. If you're like me, you watch TV, and if you look at any of the actresses that are older than the age of 40, you'll start seeing more volume in the midface, and it's because we're all starting to recognize that is basically the icing on the cake in facial rejuvenation, and it's not just facelifting itself. So keep a close eye on all the actresses' midfaces.
Right, as they're aging, and now we know why they look so youthful, right?
Right.
Great. Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Chin. It's been a pleasure.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.